1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, it's day 658 of the lockdown. The new year has begun and it's Thursday, which means the brand father, Jeremy Sampson, MD of Brand Finance Africa, is on the line. And Jeremy, I mean, it's only the 13th day of the new year. We've got the ANC already trying to burn down Parliament, thumbing its nose at the judiciary. It just feels like the heat in the political kitchen is being ratcheted up. How are you doing?
Hello, Michael. Well, a happy new year to everyone, apart from those who support the ANC, because what's going on at the moment after 13 days, as you say, talk about a running start. It's really getting very, very hot already. And perhaps this is a precursor to what a lively year I think 2022 is going to be.
Well, if you look at it from a brand perspective, Jeremy, I mean, what does this mean for the good ship RSA Inc.'s reputation? Because on the good side, I think Omicron has certainly shone a very favorable light on South Africa. We were the first to discover it through our medical science expertise and to alert the world to a variant that thankfully hasn't been as virulent as Delta.
Well, absolutely. Just to read the Financial Times out of London, their weekend edition, 4 days ago, they were eulogizing South Africa and saying what a fantastic job South Africa was doing. And that's the good news. Then, of course, as you've already alluded to, there's all the bad news and all the stuff that's going on, which really erodes all the good equity of the country. Remember, reputation is often about perceptions, what people hear and see. And as we know, in this era that we live in, everything is digitally able to be pushed around the world in nanoseconds. So it doesn't matter what's going on, who's saying it. It's very easy to make sure that things go out into the rest of the world. Some of our politicians still seem to think that if they whisper in a corner of a room, it'll stay private. And we've learned to their detriment, not so.
Well, and that brings me to the bad side. So, I mean, if that's the good in terms of South Africa's reputation, I mean, the bad has got to clearly still be rooted in our politics and specifically the ANC. And I was reminded of this in a little trip down to the Midlands over December, where I happened to visit the Nelson Mandela capture site again. And it was just after Desmond Tutu had passed. And it just got me thinking about how far we have moved away from being the moral compass of the world almost. And Tutu certainly represented that. And now you've got ANC ministers acting like Robert Mugabe, threatening the judiciary.
Well, absolutely. And this is where, talking to a colleague the other day, she said South Africa has almost become moral-less. She said, you know, basically, where are the morals? Where are the ethics? Where is the Ubuntu? And what we're doing at the moment, sadly, is breeding a generation who are used to this, who thinks this is the norm, who thinks they can get away with things, who think about entitlement. Just seeing the parade of, was it Maseratis and Ferraris and Porsches going into the ANC function in Limpopo last week, and that was all over Twitter. I'm sure a lot of people saw it. It was quite amazing. And what do they say about a politician? Find a rich politician and you'll find a crooked politician. I think that was Truman or Roosevelt, you know, said that, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 years ago. And that's the reality. You look at some of the guys who are very, very close to political power and you see the wealth which they openly display. And it really makes you wonder what the hell is going on and where is the accountability?
Well, that's why we've got to pay tribute to Desmond Tutu. I mean, he really was a rare breed. He was this passionate human rights defender. He had this infectious laugh. He took on the mighty, the corrupt, and even his own political home almost. He was not afraid to call anyone out. And this brilliant and sparkling light that has shone so brightly in the country has gone out. And so we do have to say, Hambakatle, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, you will certainly be missed, especially when this new crop that we've got to deal with, if you look at the likes of Fikile and Balula and what Outer has just achieved, and just chatting now to Wayne Duvenage of Outer, it shouldn't be this way. We shouldn't have to have civil society railing against this complete disregard for good common sense law. And it's no surprise that we see what's going on at Transnet and the looting and dereliction of our railways.
Well, exactly. I actually, just before this program, reached out to that well-known economist, Mike Schussler, who's a friend of your program. And I said to him, have they cut the staff at Transnet on the railway side? And he said, to the best of his knowledge, no. Now, the railway is not working. The trains are not running. There are no rails. There are no stations in a lot of cases. Yet apparently the staff remain fully employed. Well, again, what is going on? What is happening? Is this the unions propping them up? It just, you know, makes you wonder about Alice in Wonderland, you know, being really a pale shadow of what's going on in this country at the moment.
Well, Alice in Wonderland could be also going, rather than through the looking glass, she could be going down under. If you look at what's going on in Australia around the Australian Open, and Novak Djokovic, as he's now come to popularly be referred to by the kind of anti-vax crowd, who are holding him up as this hero. You can always say that Aussie Premier Scott Morrison is playing politics. It's an election year, and he wants to show that he's going to come down hard on anyone who doesn't want to follow Australia's very harsh immigration and border control policies. But Djokovic hardly has the moral high ground here, because he says he's not anti-vax, but he just refuses to take the vaccine.
Well, yes. And then even though he's being proved to be positive, he's carried on life as usual, infecting lots and lots of different people. You know, apparently he's now contravened the rules in three different countries, allegedly. It really makes me wonder where this is going to end up, because the mixed messaging that's coming out, and Djokovic, you know, in his current state, could end up playing for a couple of rounds and then be told by the Australians to get out of the country. Well, that would be even more embarrassing, and it would be more embarrassing not just for him, but for Australia as well. And this is where this has got into a situation where it's a total lose-lose.
Well, we hope it isn't a lose-lose for the Proteas, as they look to chase down just over 200 for victory against India. But what has been a lose for me is the lack of fans in stadia, and certainly looking at how mild the Omicron variant has been and how government's approach to managing the pandemic has been altered, doing away with the curfew, it doesn't make much sense that we can't have fans in Newlands to witness what could potentially be a quite historic Test Series victory against the number one side in the world tomorrow.
Well, exactly. You know, India, as you say, is number one. And here are the Proteas looking as though they're getting very close to beating them. And I must say, it's been an absorbing series, as you say. I think it's very sad that people can't get in to watch the game. I actually drove past the Wanderers cricket ground last week when they were playing there. And there were quite a lot of cars there, which surprised me. Obviously, the media and others have managed to get in. But then, as you say, all these empty terraces. Now, someone else said the other day, let's get rid of all our rules at the moment relating to COVID, apart from the mask and the social distancing and the size of crowds. But you could easily get the stadia sitting in alternate rows or whatever, and that way the atmosphere would be fantastic. And here is a classic cricket match being played out. If only they'd open the doors even tomorrow to see South Africa hopefully win.
Absolutely. Playing it with a straight bat, as always, Jeremy Sampson, the MD of Brand Finance Africa, with the Brands and Sense here on Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.